Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us that there is great shalom or great peace for those who love his law or his Torah, and it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, in this week, we are jumping into our Torah portion as we continue to read through the Torah portion. And this week, we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 28, and we are reading about Jacob when he left. In fact, when you look at the title of this week's Torah portion, that is what it means. It means, and he left, speaking of Jacob. And last week we talked about how Jacob had fought for the promise, that he fought for the right to have the promise, the right to have the blessing of his father, of Isaac. And so this week we're going to read and talk about how Jacob is sent away, or he leaves, because of the anger of his brother Esau. Remember, Esau despised the promise and the blessing upon selling his birthright for a pot of lentils to satisfy his flesh. That is why Esau forfeited the blessing, or the promise, was because he was more interested in satisfying his flesh than he was in pursuing the blessing. But Jacob was the other way around. So now Esau is upset and angry because Jacob has obtained the blessing. See, the blessing was not going to come apart from the birthright. Esau despised the birthright. He sold his birthright, but yet he still wanted to possess the blessing, okay? It kind of speaks of those that would want to walk in the flesh, and they desire to satisfy the flesh, and instead of fighting and warring against the flesh, they succumb to their flesh, and they give in to their flesh, and they live fleshly, but yet they still desire to receive the blessing. And Esau teaches us that we cannot have the blessing while we are walking in the flesh. We have to be pursuing Yahweh's righteousness in order to obtain the blessings of Yahweh. So let's go ahead and read here in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 10. It says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, Yahweh stood above it and said, 'I am Yahweh, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.'" Now remember, Jacob is being sent away really for two reasons. Number one, his mother, Rebekah, feared for Jacob's life because of the anger that was upon Esau over Jacob having obtained the blessing. So she is sending Jacob back to her family for that reason. The second reason was Jacob was not to marry a woman from the land. Now remember, Esau does marry a woman from the land, and it was a thorn in the side of his parents, of Isaac and Rebekah. So Jacob is being sent back to the land of his relatives to escape Esau, and also he's ultimately going to find a woman that he loves, and he's going to desire to bring her back with him, and he's going to fall in love with her, and he is also going to be tricked by Laban as well. So, but we're not going to get too much into that right now. But Jacob is leaving his mother and his father, and he is going to a strange land, okay, to a land that he's never been to before. Yes, it is family, but he's never been there before. And on the track, he is going through the wilderness at night. You could say Jacob probably has some fears. He probably is worried as he is making this trek across this wilderness by himself to his family's land. You know, maybe there's a thought in his head, is my brother pursuing me? Is a wild animal going to get me? And I think that it's in this setting where Jacob is probably in a bit of fear, probably has some doubts on what's going on. He has fought to obtain this blessing from his father, and now he is basically on the run for his life. And so upon this, he lays down and he dreams a dream upon going to sleep at night. And this dream shows me, number one, the faithfulness of our God, Yahweh, and the faithfulness that he shows to Jacob. Because at this moment, Yahweh appears unto Jacob to show him that he is with him, that he is not alone. Even though physically he is walking through the wilderness and he doesn't see anyone else with him, he is going to open Jacob's eyes so that Jacob can see what is going on in the spiritual world around him instead of just seeing what's going on in this fleshly, physical earth, to build up Jacob's faith, you could say, so that Jacob wouldn't be fearful, but he would know that he could trust in Yahweh, the God of his father Abraham, and the God of his father Isaac. So he shows him this ladder that is set up that goes from heaven to earth, or from the earth up to heaven. And he sees angels of God ascending and descending upon this ladder. So the first thing that Jacob sees here is these angels. What are angels? They are, you could say, the army of Yahweh. They are his battle force. He is his agents. And so he sends his angels to minister and to battle for his people. Okay, we, for the most part, do not see angels. They are a supernatural being that's occurring in the spiritual world. Now, you know, there are stories of those who have had their eyes opened, as similar to Jacob here in his story, where they have seen angels. But for the most part, we do not actually see what's going on in the spiritual world. But because our physical eyes don't see it, doesn't mean it's not happening in the spiritual world. So Yahweh, in his faithfulness, opens Jacob's eyes to see, hey, I have these creatures, these angels, this army that is watching over you, that is guarding you, that is fighting for you. And he allows Jacob to see them. He sees him coming down to earth, down this ladder, and going back up the ladder to heaven, showing that there's this open door between the supernatural world and this physical world. For those who are walking in covenant with Yahweh, there is this open door that is above us, where his angels are descending and ascending. And so he is just affirming the belief of Jacob here, saying, I have you. You are not alone when it comes to what is happening in the spiritual world. Now, when you think about angels, and we see in Scripture, when people have come across an angel, that person's response normally was in fear because of the awe, the might, the strength, the power, and the size of these angels. So I say that to let you know, these angels are mighty creatures. They are warrior. They are warriors. So when people saw them, they were fearful. So these are mighty beings that are out there in the spiritual world that are fighting for us and that are protecting us. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit beyond that as well. So this is what the first thing I see here that Yahweh is showing Jacob, and that is that he is with him and that he is not alone. And just as Jacob had Yahweh with him and he was not alone, we who are walking in covenant with Yahweh have him with us, and we are not alone. So let's look at Psalms chapter 91 and verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I want to pause here on this verse. He is giving us, I would say this whole chapter is a promise, and it starts here in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So in order for us to receive the blessings, the promises that follow in the rest of Psalms chapter 91, we have to be one of the people who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So what does it mean to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Well, let's look at the very words of Yeshua and what he would say. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So number one, Yeshua speaks of abiding in him. Now, the first thing that we have to do in order to abide in him is we first have to believe that he is the Messiah, that he died upon that cross for us, and through his blood, there is a forgiveness of sins, there is a cleansing of our sins, and that he comes in, he cleanses us of all of our uncleanness, he circumcises our hearts, he puts his Holy Spirit inside of us, basically meaning that he abides inside of us. He said in verse 5, he who abides in me and I in him. So he must first abide in us, and he cannot abide in us unless first we have been born again by believing in him as the Messiah, as our Redeemer. Okay? So first it starts with that belief, and that his Spirit is living inside of us. And it is by his Spirit that we now begin to walk in righteousness. And we now walk according to the Spirit instead of according to the world. See, we're no longer conformed to the world, but we are being transformed into his image, walking just as he walked. So it is by his Spirit And when we're walking in his Spirit, then we bear much fruit. We cannot bear fruit without him abiding inside of us. We can do nothing without his Spirit living inside of us. We cannot do anything unless we have first been born again. Okay? Then he goes on in verse 9 to say, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love, or dwell in my love. And he tells us how we dwell in his love. In another verse, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Yeshua perfectly kept the commandments of his Father. He perfectly kept the commandments of the law, of the Torah. So now Yeshua is saying, if you want to love me, if you want to dwell with me, if you want to abide, have this close, intimate relationship with me, then you need to walk just as I walked, as I obeyed the commandments of my Father. And by obeying his commandments, I abided in his love. I stayed in his love. So if you want to stay in my love, then you need to keep my commandments. You need to keep the Torah. Remember, Yeshua said, I did not come to take away from the Torah, but to fulfill or to bring the Torah to its deeper meaning. And he took the concept of murder and applied it to the heart. He took the concept of adultery and he applied it to the heart. He didn't lower the standard for the believer, but you could say he raised the bar for those who have put their faith in him, who have had their hearts circumcised by Yeshua. He says in verse 8, so you will be my disciples. To be his disciple means that we walk as he walked. He came to imitate, to show us, to model how we are to walk as a Christian on this earth, how we are to walk as a follower of him on this earth. We are to be taught by his words and by his life. As we go back to Psalms chapter 91, who is the one that is dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty? It is the one who has been born again and is walking in obedience to the commandments of Yahweh. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 91 and verse 2 as we continue in this chapter. I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. So the second thing is, we need to make sure that we are putting our trust in the right source, that we are putting our trust in Yahweh, not in our ability to do something, not in man's ability, not in the governments of this world, not in the employers of this world, but that we are putting our trust in him. Now, he can use some of these resources on earth to bless us and to bring his blessings unto us, but they are not the ones that we put our trust in. We put our trust in Yahweh. And I want to read a passage here that gives us a woe, you could say, or the danger to those who trust in the wrong thing. Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek Yahweh. So let's heed the warning of the prophet here that we will not trust in Egypt, but we will trust in Yahweh. See, Jacob, as he was on the run from Esau, He could have chosen to trust in himself and to trust in his ability to deliver himself instead of trusting in Yahweh. See, Jacob would live a life, you could say, of striving for a while. He strove against Esau, fighting for the birthright and the promise or the blessing. Okay. He would go on to strive and fight with Laban. And he would eventually overcome because he fought with Yahweh, with the God of his father, Abraham, and the God of his father, Isaac. So if we can learn the lesson from Jacob, and we can learn how to fight and to strive with our God, Yahweh, instead of trying to fight on our own, with our own thoughts, our own abilities, thinking that we can handle it. If we try to do it on our own, then we are like these people here in Isaiah chapter 31. We are trusting in Egypt. When we trust in ourselves, we are trusting in Egypt. When we trust in our government to deliver us, we're trusting in Egypt. Our government cannot fix the problems that are in this nation. The governments of this world cannot fix the problems that exist in the nations of this world. The answer to the problems that are going on out there is one person and one person only, and that is Yeshua. This world needs to be taught Yeshua. They need to have their heart circumcised by Yeshua, and they need Yeshua living in the inside of them. Apart from that, this world is lawless and dark. This world needs to know the Torah of Yahweh. They need to know how to love people and how to love God in a righteous, set apart, holy manner. Second thing we see in Psalm chapter 91 and verse 2, he says, he is my refuge and my fortress. What is a fortress? It's, you know, it's a fort is what we kind of call it today, right? It's a building of walls that are built around it in which soldiers are behind the wall fighting as the enemy comes upon them and the walls protect them, that provides a shelter unto them from the gunfire, as in this time, it would probably be arrows that were being shot towards them. Today, it would be gunfire, cannons, rockets, missiles that are being launched towards you. The idea of a fortress is it is something that is built strong enough to protect you from the weapons of your enemy. Yahweh is our fortress. He is a wall around us, and he is strong enough, more than strong enough, to protect us from the enemy and from the weapons of our enemy. So we can take shelter behind him. And the weapons of our enemy cannot break through the wall that is Yahweh that is protecting us. Now let's go on to Psalms 91 and verse 3. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So he will deliver you from the trap the enemy has set. That's what he says here in verse 3. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. See, we have an enemy, Satan. And just as we spoke of these angels that Jacob was able to see descending and ascending this ladder from heaven onto the earth, who are here to minister unto us, to fight for us, to guard us, to protect us, okay? The enemy, Satan, he has agents who work for him as well. He has these demonic forces, these demons, who are roaming through the earth as well. They're in the spiritual world as well. And so they are clashing and they are fighting with these angels. So there is a spiritual war and battle that is happening around us that we do not see with our physical eyes, okay? But this evil one and his agents will look to set a trap for you. They will try to trick you, to deceive you. But Psalms 91 tells us, Yahweh tells us, I will deliver you from that snare, from that trap that he has set for you. The thing that he has set to try to trick you, to deceive you, I will deliver you from it. Remember, if we're dwelling with him, if his spirit is living inside of us, that's why it is important that we be a people who are born again, who have his spirit living on the inside of us, and that we are led by his spirit, and we understand and we learn what it means to be led by his spirit and not to be led by our flesh and by our desires and by our thoughts and by our way of thinking, because our desires and our thoughts can lead us into the trap. And it can cause us to fall victim to the trap of the evil one. But if we are being led by his spirit, then we will not fall into his deception that is out there. So we're led by his spirit, and we're also led by his word. Remember, I started this off with the scripture, you know, great shalom or peace have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So understanding and loving his Torah, the commandments, the instructions, his word that he has given us, by understanding and loving the Bible all the way from Genesis unto Revelations, and possessing an understanding and a wisdom for it, and applying it unto our lives, and walking it out and being obedient to his commands and doing it according to his spirit, not according to our strength, not according to our understanding, but allowing ourselves to be guided and led by his spirit. We can stand confident in the fact that we will overcome the traps that the enemy has set, because he is going to deliver us. Not because I'm so smart and I'm so wise to see them, but because his spirit will lead us and guide us around those traps. And I believe that we avoid traps without even knowing that we avoided traps, because his spirit is faithfully leading us and guiding us and avoiding these traps without us ever actually seeing them. We see here again, he covers you with his feathers, or under his wings, you take refuge. It's that same concept, that same language of being behind that fortress wall. We are under his protection. The enemy cannot touch us, cannot come near us. It says that his truth will be a shield unto us. So his truth protects us. It covers us. So this kind of goes back to what I was just talking about in regards to his Torah and being led by his Torah. You know, scripture tells us that the truth, that the Torah is truth, that all scripture is truth. So Genesis through Revelations is truth. That is what truth means. So as we learn the truth, as we are guided by his truth, as we follow his truth, we are living our lives behind a shield. The arrows of the evil one, the weapons of the evil one cannot get to us. It cannot penetrate through that shield. Now, this doesn't mean that life is going to go perfectly. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face trials, because we also know that Yahweh allows trials. He allows persecution, testing of our faith, in order to refine us, to make us more like him, to discipline us, and to build our character, to build our strength, to build our faith in him. Okay? But as we go through these testings, as we go through these trials, just as Jacob goes through this testing, as he goes through this persecution in his life, he could rest assured that ultimately he would be delivered. He would experience the blessing that was told unto him, and he would receive the goodness of Yahweh. We can be rest assured of the very same thing. And the other thing that we can pick up in here is verse 5 says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night." We are not to walk in fear. We do not need to be a people who walk in fear. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear will cause us not to have a sound mind. Paul is telling Timothy here, "I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of what? You are to have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." A sound mind could also be a disciplined mind, a self-controlled mind, a mind that is disciplined in what it thinks about, a mind that can control its thoughts, okay? But if you are living in fear, you will not be able to have that sound mind. You will not be able to control your thoughts. Your thoughts will be undisciplined because they will be controlled by fear instead of being controlled by the Spirit of God, being led by his Spirit. See, we have been called not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed into the image of Yeshua, for our minds to be renewed. Our minds are to be transformed into the image, to the like, the thinking, to having the thoughts of Yeshua. Okay? But we cannot have that transformed mind if our minds are controlled by fear, by doubt, and by anxiety. Those things will cause our minds to operate in the exact opposite way that it is to function and being led by the Spirit. Our minds now will be controlled and led by our flesh instead of being led and guided by the Spirit of Yahweh. Let's go ahead and continue in Psalms chapter 91 and verse 8. "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you and all your ways. Hallelujah. Just as Jacob laid his head on that rock there in the wilderness, and he dreamed a dream, and he saw this ladder going from earth into the heavens, and he saw these mighty warring angels descending and ascending this ladder. And he could see that these angels were guarding him, that they were fighting for him. We can see here in verse 11 that Yahweh gives his angels, those very same angels, charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. So as we are walking and navigating through this lawless, dark, wicked world, his angels have been given charge over us. He has given a charge to his angels. They have been given a mission, and that mission is to protect you, to guard you, to fight for you, so that the evil one and his agents cannot come near unto you, because the angels of the mighty one are fighting for you and guarding you. They have been sent to minister unto us. Even Yeshua was ministered to by the angels. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him, being Yeshua. This is speaking of the time after Yeshua is tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The angels came and ministered to Yeshua. If Yeshua needed the ministry of the angels, do we not even more need the angels to minister unto us, to fight for us, to guard us, to watch over us? Look at Psalms chapter 91 and verse 12. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So to us who believe in Yeshua, who have been born again, who are dwelling under the wings of the Almighty, who are walking in a covenant relationship with him, who have been born again, walking in obedience to his word, to the best of our ability, aiming with all that we have to be obedient to his word, we have this promise that his angels are out there fighting for us, protecting us, guarding us, that he is a wall unto us, that the weapons of the enemy cannot touch us or harm us, and that we will have long life. With long life, I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. He will be our salvation. When we need saving, he will be there to save us. And we can believe and trust in him for long life. So we can trust in him for our deliverance and not trust in ourselves. And that's probably the hardest thing to do at times, is to trust him and for us to step back and for us to allow him to deliver us, to bring salvation unto us. You know, that is what Yeshua means, right? Yahweh salvation, his salvation. He has saved us from our sins, but he not only saves us from our sins, but he saves us from the works of the evil one, from his deception, from his traps that he would set for us. He saves us from the present day trials, the present day weapons or darts or arrows that the enemy is throwing towards us as we are walking through this world at this present moment in time. So let us just trust in him. And I want to go back to this passage that we started off with, and I just want to briefly highlight this one thing as well. Yahweh was concerned with what concerned Jacob. And he let Jacob know that, I believe. And he reassures Jacob of his faithfulness. So when we go back to that previous reading, we see verse 13. And behold, Yahweh stood above it and said, I am Yahweh, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. And I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So here at this moment, Yahweh speaks the same blessing that he spoke to Abraham and to Isaac. So the very blessing that Jacob had fought for, he has received it, and he hears Yahweh speak that blessing to him this night in this dream as his head is laying upon that rock. And what does he tell him? In verse 15, I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Yahweh is faithful. That is his character. He cannot be unfaithful. If he promises to do something, if he said he's going to do something, he is going to do it. He is going to fulfill the very things that he has spoken. So he assures Jacob here, I will fulfill the things that I have spoken unto you. So as you go into the land of your relatives, he is going to continue to have to strive and fight with Laban. But Jacob can rest assured that he is going to come back to the land where he is currently at. Because remember, the blessing is tied to the land. And that Yahweh will not leave him until all has been done what has been spoken to Jacob. If Yahweh has spoken something to you, you can know that he is going to fulfill, he is going to do the thing that he has spoken to you. The charge that he is giving you to do, remain faithful, remain obedient, don't give up, don't walk away when things don't look like they're happening the way you thought it would happen. Trust me, Jacob didn't see the blessing right away. In fact, he would continue to have to strive with Laban and fight with Laban. And he would spend many more years with Laban than I think Jacob initially thought he was going to be over there for. But we can rest assured that it may not look like we thought it would look. But if we continue trusting in him and we continue being obedient to his word, doing it his way and not our way, then he will fulfill the very thing that he has spoken unto us. Well, hallelujah. I am so thankful and so glad that we serve a faithful God, that we can rely and trust upon his word and what he has spoken, that he is fighting for us, that he sends his angels, his army, on behalf of us. They are fighting for us. They are protecting us, even right now, even though we do not see it happening. He is protecting us. He is our deliverer, our protector, our salvation. Yahweh is our God. He is the Almighty One. Well, we are so glad that you have joined us this week. We will be back again next week with next week's Torah portion. So we hope that you come back and you join us. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.